see.
There we go. Technology's in operation. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, and councillors. This is the ordinary council meeting held today, the 22nd of July, 26, at the Kempton Municipal Offices at 85 Main Street in Kempton. In accordance with Regulation 8 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations, I must advise all attendees that this meeting is being recorded. All persons attending the meeting are to be respectful of and considerate towards other persons attending the meeting, and language and conduct at the meeting that could be perceived as offensive, defamatory or threatening to a person attending the meeting or listening to the recording is not acceptable. We're looking forward to the first item. As usual, the Reverend Dennis Cousins is with us to recite prayers.
Good morning. Thank you very much. Good to be here. Just like to mention, there's a Jennifer Cooper who passed away within the Southern Midlands area. I don't think I knew her personally. Others may do, but think of her husband Ivan and family at this stage as they mourn the loss of a loved one. Over the years I've shared with you some from some common prayers from a collection by an Australian poet, Arthur Lewis, and some are quite thought-provoking, others you think, okay, I'll have a look at another one. But today I'd like to just share with you one, and it's in regards to truthfulness, and it's something that was, as I read it through, it was a thought-provoking moment for myself as well. So from the common prayer from Michael Lewing. And he begins, in order to be truthful, we must do more than speak the truth. We must also hear truth. We must also receive truth. Must also act upon truth, must also search for truth, the difficult truth, within us and around us. We must devote ourselves to truth, otherwise we are dishonest, and our lives are mistaken. God grant us the strength and the courage to be truthful. Today we think of Jennifer Cooper's family and of friends and of those who's been closely associated with here in the Southern Midlands Council or in the wider area. And as we begin this council meeting today, we remember the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you very much, and all the very best for today.
Thank you,
Dennis.
We now have the acknowledgement of country, and we acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land on which we meet today and recognise their continuing connection to land, water and to community. We pay respects to elders past and present. Our attendance today amongst councillors is complete, and we also have an attendee which I'm very pleased to refer to, because it is the beginning of a new policy and process within our council, that is the allocation of the position of junior mayor. And we have with us today the first, the inaugural junior mayor.
Subject to
an item which we're about to have placed before us. And we're going to move up an item, which I think is number
17.246. We can have a motion to bring that up forward on the agenda.
17.246. Moved by the deputy.
Seconded
by Councillor Campbell. I think it was probably just there by a short half hit. So if we can just take you to page, what did we say,
17.2.6, which is
63. All right. Now there's a report there that has been prepared by the Manager of Community and Corporate Development, by Ms. Young. Did you wish to speak to that, Wendy?
I
think it would be appropriate.
So we have been through the process as per the policy, and Hayden presented at our last workshop, and so if this is being put to councillors for endorsement.
So moved.
Well, if there, I have a move and a second, is there any comment in relation to the matter? Okay, well the recommendation is that Hayden Scott is the inaugural Southern Midlands Council Junior Mayor for the period commencing 22 July 26, concluding February 27, in accordance with the Junior Mayor, Junior Deputy Mayor policy. And that we, as a council, congratulate Hayden on his appointment and acknowledge his commitment to representing the young people of Southern Midlands Municipality. We have a mover there of the deputy and a seconder of councillor.
Councillor is the councillor Duncan. Deputy.
I did call councillor Campbell as the seconder. Yeah, I did because he was a short half head.
I thought the deputy.
I'm glad.
We're going to argue.
I'm glad you're doing a contest to support this motion.
You make me call Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Junior Mayor.
I call Mr. Councillor Campbell.
As moving the motion.
No,
I moved the motion.
No, Tony moved the motion and I seconded it.
Yeah.
I'm sure that is so.
It's all recorded. I'll leave it recorded. I believe it or not, I haven't been wrong before.
Yes. So Bob just said he moved it to bring forward the motion recording it, but then I
didn't. It doesn't usually happen,
does it?
No,
it's not.
Come
on,
Tony. Yes. That's a badge which, when we have official occasions, you'll be required to wear that because everybody knows who you are and where we are there and why you're there. And we will have a list of some official occasions that we'll try and get you to, which will be really great. And I think, like Sacred Index, Saturday, Sacred Index, the History Room, give you a nice occasion there where most of Oaklands will be gathering to launch a book with some, it'll be a case like that, where we would like you to be, but also we would like to refer matters to you quite often, whether it's junior or young person's input required, and we would like to get your input on it. So we'll keep you in the loop on various things, and you must feel free to always come to us too, without us inviting you to do so, when you feel. And you're most welcome to attend all the council meetings and any of the workshops that you would like to attend to. We look forward to seeing you. Well, congratulations, Dan.
There's a speech from him, which is accepted.
You want to say a few words, Tony? Call me to say some free words.
I'm looking forward to the rest of the year and next year and
Good stuff.
I must say the material that Hayden put forward in his application it was inspiring really and very well thought out. And so we're very pleased to have him. Well, look, that item has now been completed. And we'll go Okay, to apologies, there are none?
Mm-hmm.
No. The minutes of the ordinary council meeting held back on the 24th of June, that they be
I can move that.
Thank you, Councillor Fish.
Second.
Second is Councillor Fish. Any issues there? No? I'll put the motion over, favour. Against, the ayes have it. Special committees of council received the minutes. We've got the Woodstaff General Woodstaff Hall General Committee meeting and the Woodstaff Cemetery Management Committee.
So I move those because I was at both meetings.
Thank you.
And then I'll second.
Move the deputy, second to Councillor Campbell. Any issues there? Just one question. I wondered. And it'll probably come up maybe in relation to the actual minutes, but how many people have we got on the waiting list that or who have bought plots? it's 2,200 bucks. Where did it go? 2,300 bucks.
So there would be, what, 20 to 30 that have bought plots.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And the fund for the purchase of the plots, how is that?
So if you can recall, do you want me to jump in?
Yeah, go for it.
So at the time, previous burials at the Woodsdale Cemetery in Brookings have been free. It's whilst the property was owned by the state, it was managed by a local committee on a volunteer basis, so there were no costs, and provided, whilst there was no clear definition, providing you were a local or a relative of a local, you were entitled to book your plot at no cost. When council took ownership, you might recall that we developed a policy to sort of maintain a similar arrangement. However, if someone wished to book a plot or a spot in the columbarium, they pay our set fee now. Or if they, based on the policy, provide evidence that they're a local or a relative of someone that's buried in the policy, then they receive a substantially lesser fee. And then the committee still continues to maintain it all voluntary and the like. So.
I was just wondering what...
So at the moment we've probably had four burials and probably received a total of about $2,000 in cemetery income over the last 18 months.
So there's not a large pot of money. When you say there's about 60 in the waiting list, there's not 60 by $2,000.
They've all booked in a... So they've all...
Under the old policy.
Under the old policy where they haven't had to pay.
And most of them would be locals with family.
Yeah.
And a new columbarium is just about to be built. So Dave's guys have put the slab down and we're just waiting for approval on the colour of the brick and then that will go ahead as well.
Beautiful. Alright, well I'm glad that that's progressing well. Now the special committee council endorsement of the recommendations that those minutes show. Is there a move?
I'll move.
Thank you, Councillor Campbell.
I'll second.
And the deputy. Any issues? I'll put the motion. Motion favour.
Right.
Against the ayes have it. Very good. And now cross over to the notification of council workshops. Some discussions there.
So move.
Councillor Christie moves. And is there a second?
Oh, second. Yes, get it moving.
We did have a discussion about some issues with boundaries, which we may take up further later on. Alright, no further issues in relation to the workshop. I'll put the motion, those in favour. That notification is received. Councillors, question time. There's no questions on notice or questions without notice?
Just one, Mr. Mayor, the Kempton Children's Playground, there's going to be a consultation with the community about moving that. Has there been any progress on that?
Yep, so there's been a mail out to all residents last week with advices that they can obtain feedback forms here. We'll be sitting here from 3:30 to 6:30 this Thursday for people to drop in and provide comments and get an explanation of what's planned.
Yeah.
And hopefully we can get some feedback on the type of playground equipment and the proposed relocation of the playground.
Yeah.
So the community's all been notified through a mail out through the post office.
That's good.
Dropping session this week.
This mail out to Kempton aren't that great. I don't know if you have a box. Does not everybody have a box?
No.
How do they get their mail?
So there were copies to be put. She's done this voluntary. The lady. Put one in every post box, but ensure that there's enough copies for those that just drop in to get their mail.
Okay.
And there's some posters up. And of course, good old Facebook. It's out on Facebook.
Because I thought, and I think it would be, and I'll repeat the thought, that we ought to put a public notice board near the post office in the new little square that they've got there. I think it would be very useful. We need to think about that.
Because we had a notice board.
It's Kempton not put a notice board?
No.
No, it was...
Be careful.
I don't have a real good memory, Mr. Mayor, but I can recall discussing this issue, and a particular person suggested that it needed to have some artistic flair in the design.
I wonder who that is.
And we might have delegated that.
I think we agree with the council to put out $5,000.
The person that takes an active interest in art, has an artistic flair, volunteered to come up with an artistic design for us.
Okay.
Well, we await.
That'll be done.
There's a handball.
No. I'm off and running, don't worry about that. Okay. You've got enough trouble, Councillor. Councillor, finish.
No, I have nothing.
Just in relation to the Mud Walls Road again, since the last meeting, there's been at least four accidents on that bend, two of which have resulted in the cars going through the barrier and, you know, into the ditch on the other side. I'm not sure whether there are more or not, but, you know, clearly it's only a matter of time until someone dies on that bend. So I know that it's not our road, but I think we should invite State Roads to come and explain to us why they haven't taken the matter seriously, given that, you know, every week at least there's some incident on that bend, and now the barrier has been, you know, at least a quarter of it's missing from the last accident. And again, just to understand what they're going to do in order to try and highlight the hairpin turn seemingly. Yes, so again, it's very night from the last council meeting, someone had ran into it again, not as serious as two of the ones that I'm aware of, but there's certainly at least four, two of which were, you know, resulted in some serious injury given the state of the cars afterwards.
So has it been foggy down there as the normal evening and...
Well, I don't have the exact time, but, you know, it's not any different conditions than it would be normally. But, you know, the last one happened maybe a couple of days, and it's taken out, you know, a quarter of the barrier itself. So, I think we need to either paint some stuff on the road, paint some line markings, arrows, whatever we've got to do to try and highlight that hairpin turn before someone does pay the ultimate price.
Right, well, the
Probably have been raising it for at least 6 months now.
It's not a new thing,
so I think we do need to escalate it.
We'll see if we can get someone from the state crowd to come along with a chat.
But that's all from me.
Thank you.
A couple of small little ones. Just wondering if there's any progress on the detention centre and TAS patrol there. If there's been any other movements there.
My name is Bosnia, Councillor Blackwell. In relation to the justice facility, we have hearing dates scheduled Monday, August 17th, the 4-day hearings on the 20th. We believe we'll only have probably 3 days in task camp. The issues relate to noise predominantly, noises from the gunfights, and the effect it might have on the inhabitants of the justice facility. And secondly, with TAS patrolling, last Friday, the 17th of July, we received notification from the Supreme Court. We do have an application of the Judicial Review Act in relation to the Federal Council. Council has since sought this sort of legal advice, and we'll discuss that in close committee this afternoon. But certainly, as far as we were at, there's no surprise, it's forecast to us in advance that they would proceed down that route, and here we are. So,
thank you.
I got four. Prior to Jubilee Hall, do they still have an active committee, or are they just given up?
Well, to the best of my knowledge, there's still an active committee. I notice that they've got some scaffolding around the hall, and hasn't been a lot of work lately, but as you're aware, it's not a council-owned hall. But I don't know, yeah. I suppose the winter period wouldn't assist in outdoor working booths either. So.
And a similar question for the radio station. Do they have an active committee, and are they getting on in a progressive way?
I can answer that one. I think the committee is now down to one person. Whatever's going to air is purely coming off the satellite feed. And a decision needs to be made too, in terms of what its future is. But I think the committee represents one person, I believe.
Been there, done that in the past.
So it does need to be, because council does meet the cost of the transmitting station, the Aurora costs, and it's just there's no local content, and it's just broadcast from satellite.
And then I've had feedback from a number of those that are in the trucking and livestock sector. The site there at Oakens that TAS Petroleum was looking at, would that be suitable for a truck wash?
Through Mr. Mayor, Councillor Campbell, under the rural zoning, it would require a notification of some likely discretionary application, more than likely, probably the fault of the service activity. And without having a good look at what they propose and compliance with relevant standards, I'd say the minimum would require a DA for some description. But it's discretionary or otherwise, I couldn't tell you, but certainly it would require some assessment and approval from council.
And my final one, and I'm looking at some of the, I don't know, call them stooges, prospective councillors, how are we going to get some more activation in that area, getting more people to put their hand up? Because I've had a whole lot of comments, over 80 or another fight, you should get out. You pass years by day. I've had a lot of that sort of thing coming back to me. And I'd like to see a lot of younger ones get their hand up.
Well, so would we. All I can say is that we've organised and advertised three candidate information sessions. Oakland's on the 13th of August, Kempton on the 18th of August, and Campaign on the 25th of August. At those sessions, hopefully we'll get bombarded with people, and we'll sing the praises of local government and tell how enjoyable it is and what you need to do to be kidding in
public. Part of it can be running the meetings after an hour to enable people that work to participate in them. This timing during the day precludes a lot of people and it's beneficial and suitable for the current council.
Just what we normally do is ask the council when they get formed what they're happy with.
So I'm aware of that, but equally the pretences of these have always been at least since I've been in Tasmania.
I don't think there's any real issue about having meetings at times which suit. I don't think anyone's particularly aware of the daytime meetings, but they just seem to be more convenient for everybody to have them daytime meetings.
Especially the staff, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah, well, obviously the staff and the opportunity to have an interface with other businesses while the meeting's going. I mean, there's positives and negatives both ways, and it's a difficult one to actually to get the balance right. But what I find though is what I do find it, just looking around other councils, when you have the night meetings, what tends to happen is that you have day meetings by default. In other words, you have a workshop where the whole council agenda is discussed and decided upon in the day meeting in a workshop. And then because everybody wants to get home at night, they'll just go through the council meeting with ticks like bang, 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 because it's all been decided. So your actual meeting, it actually mitigates against council and people participation because the meeting is in the closed workshop, the actual meeting is in a closed workshop, and then it's all decided to go to. Well, I don't think that's necessarily a good idea, but it's efficient. It's a vexed question, I think.
It's not too different than what happens now anyway. You know, we barely have meaningful debate about most decisions that come through here, so it doesn't matter. But if we're looking for ideas that will encourage a greater and wider interest in doing this, then certainly cutting out a vast swath of the working population isn't a good way to go about it.
The normal procedure, Mr. Mayor, is following a council election. At the first meeting, that's one of the agenda items.
It's a statutory requirement
That's address where that issue. Decision is made.
And take your point, it's difficult because without, as the Mayor said, it comes down to the individual councillors that are elected as to their preferred meeting time. And it's hard to promote, so council meetings will be held of an evening if the newly elected council then decides it's more convenient for that group of elected members to meet during the day. So it's a bit of a no-win situation.
Drawing attention to the fact that it can be after hours.
We actually make that point as part of the presentation that the Act says council meetings are generally held after 5 p.m. unless the council determines otherwise. And that forms part of the presentation. And it's the same. If I could just add a lot of the questions, what's the time commitments? Until the new council is elected, we really can't confidently say what the time commitments are other than what we currently do. Now, there's a one meeting a month and one workshop a month, so there's a little bit of unknowns out there.
Well, there is. Some councillors wish to participate on a wide range of committees. They might find themselves doing a lot of that. Some councillors don't do that. They might do this.
Anyway.
Yeah.
And also it remunerates a bit better and then it becomes a little more interesting for people who want to participate.
Well, that comes into effect after this election. What do you get, a 30% of increase?
But even still, I mean, it's not a big sum of money for the time commitment.
I guess that depends on which perspective you look at. But. All right. Any other questions without notice? Councillor Tim?
Well, I was just going to ask the General Manager to give us an update on the Tunbridge Hall.
Very timely question, because I shall circulate. So councillors will recall that we had a community meeting back on the 5th of July, 5th of January, no, 5th of February, and as an outcome of that, because the the background was that there's an inactive committee.
I'm the only last member left.
Last person standing.
Thank you.
And the notice, that notice has been mailed out to all property owners within that northern area from sort of Antioch Ponds north to the boundary. So you'll see that we'll be conducting a follow-up meeting next Thursday night, providing the community with an update on what we've done since, what are the options available, but also doubling it up as a special general meeting of the Tunbridge Town Hall Incorporated, which gives us the ability to appoint a new management committee, hopefully. And then that management committee will then have some work to do initially, particularly around amending its constitution and with the intention to go to an annual general meeting in September and then hopefully finalise a lease arrangement. Having said that, there's a number of other complexities in and around all of that that the management committee will need to think about.
Is there a legal cost in all of this?
Well, Mr. Mayor, something. Yes. As part of, again, a reminder that the Tunbridge Town Hall is community owned, not council owned. We're trying to facilitate a way forward. We have invested some money already in seeking advice in terms of what the current status is around the trust, who the trustees may be, can we locate a trust document, and what are the ways forward to try and put a sustainable management option in place. The advice, and I can tell you that the hall was purchased, or certainly the property was purchased back in 1899, and there were four names, I can give you the four names. Certainly can't find a trust document at this point of time, and again, that would require, but the four names, these might ring a bell: Adam Gibson, John Hedlund, William Jones and William Skirr. Those are the four names on the, what are they called? The agreement? No, there's no title. This is another, this is another complexity.
Yeah, no title.
There is no tyrant's title to the property.
So where's the title? We don't know.
And that's the advice from Abetz Curtis has highlighted the options to try and secure a Torrens title, to be able to enable transfer of ownership at some point in time. The downside is all the options and the issues that have been flagged
have to be surveyed.
Someone's got to be prepared to invest.
Surveyed again.
I won't go into the detail now, but it's about, it's really all about following, because whilst property is owned by, well, purchased by these four trustees, there's no evidence or legal basis for the Tunbridge Town Hall Incorporated to even manage the hall. What the history of this, you know, the community's probably got together, all established an incorporated body to manage this hall, but it's got no legal relationship with the trustees. So that, in effect, gives it no ability to even manage the property.
And are the trustees alive?
No. Well, I don't reckon that they bought it in 1899. That Skirr rings a bell, but that was a Graham Skirr that had the wool store down here at Kent.
Gibson, there were Gibson and Hedlunds, of course, and Joneses in Tunbridge, but Gibson was also a lawyer in Oakland.
There was
Gibson lawyer in Oakland.
Yeah, Gibson lawyer,
yeah. Clyde couldn't face the start.
So I think, long story short, have a special general meeting, appoint a management committee, don't alert them to all of these complex issues, otherwise we won't get people putting their hand up, and then we'll work through the new committee to try and come up with a way forward. Before then, keep in mind we're just facilitating this at the present time.
Yeah, it's not a council, well, it's not a council building, and we're doing this on behalf of the community at Tunbridge, trying to put their affairs in some sort of order as best we can. Thank you for that interesting question, Deputy.
Thank you, Dora.
Are there any other questions?
No.
Very good.
Well done.
How's the time going? Are we going to press on?
Yeah, you can.
Okay, well, there's a section now where I must, in accordance with Part 2, Regulation 8 of the local government, request that members or councillors must indicate whether they have or are likely to have a pecuniary interest in any item on the agenda. Accordingly, councillors are requested to advise of a pecuniary interest they may have in respect of any matter on the agenda or any supplementary item to the agenda, which local council has resolved to deal with in accordance with Part 2, Regulation 8, 6 of the local government meeting procedures regulations. Is there any such pecuniary interest?
No.
No? Very good. Any supplementary items to the agenda? No?
Yep.
We might make a decision about that. We now arrive at public question time. And in accordance with the requirements of Part 2, Division 4 of the local government meeting regulations, the agenda is now making time for public question time. And welcome members of the public. And are there any questions from you? Julian?
Yes, I did have one. But it's already been dealt with, thank you.
All right.
About tenant patrolling.
And a track wash?
No, the weather, there's lots of rumours and so on in the community about tenant patrolling taking legal action, and I wanted to ask.
Has it happened? Yes, yes, it's happened. Yes. And council will have a meeting in closed session about that.
Yes, thank you.
Which is normal in relation to legal proceedings.
Yes.
Very good. Well, if there are no further... was there anything?
I just wanted to make a comment. Did anyone else see where our friends on the Central Coast have approved a TAS Petroleum non-manned facility that was all over Facebook yesterday?
No, I didn't see that.
In Alston, and it's on a site that's already there, so that gives Alston 3 service stations.
But it wouldn't have to be rezoned?
Sorry, no. And it's in a 50 kilometre zone.
Yeah, you're right.
So I did notice that.
Yeah, right.
All right.
Very good.
Do you want to press on?
Yeah.
All right.
Put it on the agenda. We've got to keep going.
Council. Action as a plan. Neil. Officers' reports. The Manager of Infrastructure and Works reports before us. This is item 13.10. Dave Richardson. Morning, Mr. Richardson.
Morning, Neil.
There are reports before us. Did you wish to speak to them?
No, I guess all councillors after the council meeting will probably be going for a stroll along the Moodfoo Walkway.
Well, can I just say, I thought we should open that officially. with some kind of maybe Ms. Young can throw her mind to it, but some sort of community event, like a walk or a bike ride.
You've got to buy me a bike first.
You told us you had it in your garage.
I don't know, look, it's draw attention to the community, especially young people in the holidays, about that they don't have to go up a road anymore, they can go along the footpath and it's their footpath. I don't know. Any thoughts about that?
Yes, I think it would be appropriate.
Can I just do a quick handball over to the... Yeah, okay.
Handball?
Handball to Wendy.
We might have a sausage sizzle and a ribbon cutting.
Yeah.
Good idea.
We'll do something about it and we can have a free orange for the fastest person to walk up there with a funny walk or something. Yeah.
I'd get one of them electric scooters.
Have an electric scooter?
I'll borrow one from the hospital.
There. Well, we think of something anyway that sort of opens it because I'm sure Mood Food would be interested in that. They could put up a couple of free oranges.
We'll do it after the
after
festival.
The festival. Yeah.
After?
The festival, the Bullock Festival. Our community events people are a little bit committed at the moment with the Bullock Festival.
Right.
That's only a fortnight away.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, carry on, Dave. Sorry, I didn't mean to hijack
the I guess another bit of a highlight is Barata, who's completed some early garden for the past replacement works out there.
It looks good,
though. It does look quite good. We've had really positive feedback on it. The other one's Baghdad School. Just this week we've done some footpath upgrade works there and putting some bollards, etc. for bus parking, and we're all very familiar with issues around the congestion there at the Baghdad School. That was done under a grant from the state government, the Vulnerable Road User Program. All but completed with a little bit of line marking to be done, and that's about it. I guess I'll take any questions from councillors regarding anything.
Could you be a rooted bleary annas at Melbourne Mowbray Park? Any movement there? Or
we have trees sitting at the open step over ready to go over there. Yes.
We applied to increase the area. What happened with it?
It's all through? Yes.
All right.
After a couple of years?
I know it's been going on and on and on, and I wondered if it'd come to a completion. Well, that's good, because that area is a bit isolated out there, and it's good to have a quarry there.
Yep.
Oh, that's very good news.
Yeah, and I have a contractor program to come in with some crushing
boards. Right. Oh, very good.
As weather allows.
Yeah, it's good quality gravel.
It is good quality gravel, but it's a challenge to crush that gravel when it's too wet.
Yes, right.
It's just a matter of timing and...
It won't go through the crusher.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's good news. Thank you.
So that's upgraded from the level 1 to what's called level 2.
Level 2, yeah.
Which I think under our permit conditions we can... produce up to 25,000 tonnes per annum.
That's great. Thank you.
And David, I just wonder, specifications are currently being prepared for construction works on two bridges. I thought that bridge was concrete. Where are they and what does it actually involve?
Yeah, so we have two structures. There's one on Lawton Road. Yeah. And one on the state road at Campania, and the abutments are basically moving, so we've got to take the decks off and put new abutments in there and put the decks back on. So that's what that's about. And what I've done is I've applied under the bridge renewal program through the federal government for funding for that. So we should know within the next month or two as to whether or not we were successful with that. But you are correct, Councillor Fishel, most of our structures are concrete.
Yeah.
It's just there's no movement there, that's all.
Yeah. Thanks for that, Andrew. David, that's all for me.
I'm just curious, when is the Flowerman Park upgrade started?
You're talking, I assume, Councillor Miller, the pickleball,
yes,
etc. Courts there. Andrew Benson is best placed to answer that. I think there's some other factors at play there at the moment, but I'm not quite sure.
Okay.
As soon as I get given the green light to go ahead, we'll get in there and start spending money.
Very good. Thank you.
He's in his element when he's doing that.
Just one, Dave. Someone asked me last night how hard it is to move a TAS Networks pole from the entrance to Gormash where the chicane is. Apparently the trucks don't go on the other side of the road because they can't get their trucks through properly.
Well, I guess that would be a question of TAS Networks to answer.
Yes.
There's a process you can go, you have to go online and you have to apply and basically put in your rationale as to why it needs to be moved and relocated, etc.
Yeah, it probably doesn't have to be, assuming it would be very expensive, and it doesn't have to be moved much. It's just
$7,000 the last time I asked for one to be moved. Sorry? The last time I asked for one to be moved, it was $7,000.
So they're not, I know it's not cheap, but...
Not a cheap exercise.
Yeah.
But I can I can have a look at it and get the poll
number.
Have
a look at it and see what you
discuss it with TAS Networks about how much sort of figures it would be.
Yeah.
If it is new in the end of its life, you can get them to reposition it. But I don't know how long it is.
It's probably really short, Mr.
That your Councillor Campbell?
I have to thank you, David, for taking the pressure off my ears from complaining people. Woodsdale Road, that section there by the gun club. Have you got that finished yet or not?
Yes, I believe it is. I was only putting some guideposts in there and tucking it up with some
It's all quiet out that way now, thanks to you. That's my lot, your lot.
Deputy?
Me. The Gadtech Quarry on Woodsdale Road.
Yes.
I've had the bus contractor, school bus contractor, that goes from, they come out to Woodsdale and they go all the way to Runnymede, Sorrel, but that's Sorrel School. They're just saying how bad it is there now where the trucks are coming out and how much rubbish is left on the roads when it's particularly wet and stuff like that. Now, if I remember rightly, Gadtech was supposed to seal that. They haven't done that, have they?
Thanks, Councillor Dudgeon. You are correct, they haven't. However, the current status is that they have given us a guarantee that it will be sealed either by the end of this month or within the first couple of weeks of next month. Of August, weather permitting. That's the undertaking they've given us because our Green actually wrote them a request about them fulfilling their duties under the planning permit, which I've raised with them many times over the last few years. And it's like, well, yes we are. Well, now it appears they've given us a time frame for it, so.
Okay, thank you for that. Well, okay, well, we'll see how it goes, and if it's, I'll get back to them, and they'll get back to me, I'm sure.
No problem.
And I think the General Manager's going to back me up on this one. The state of Portela and Nala Roads at the moment is disgraceful. I've had so many complaints about it, and of course Saturday we had a...
People driving
a large number of people driving
that,
and he complained about it as well. And look, in 2 weeks' time, we will be having two football games out there because we're the lucky ones to probably be looking like definitely finishing on top of the ladder. So we'll have the first and second semi-final. So we're going to have four different teams out there. So a lot of traffic. I've got a bit of pressure on me out there to try to get this road fixed a bit because you're going from side to side. It is really bad. And I know you put signs up to say the road's in bad condition, but that's all I'll say.
Yeah, look, my comment today is, as you're well aware, Councillor Dudgeon, the York Lane section of the road out there was actually probably in worse condition, and the grade is currently out there now. Doing that as soon as the grade will be there in the next week to do Portella, and we're well aware of it. We travel roads,
I know. I've seen Cameron go past. I'm just saying it.
All's on the side, this program is going.
Thank you.
Lovely. Mr.
Fisher.
I'll put the motion that the infrastructure and work report be received.
And I'll second.
Thank you, Councillor Fisher. Seconded Councillor Campbell. No further discussion? I'll put the motion. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? Ayes have it. Thanks very much, staff.
Good morning, Chief.
Morning, Chief.
Morning,
Chief. I move that we have morning tea then.
All right.
Second.
We break in for morning tea on the new motion of the Director of Deputy and Secretary of Council of Fisty.
Press the button. Okay. Welcome back, councillors, and thank you very much for the persons behind organising a morning tea. It was very good.
Motion to reconvene, Mr. Mayor.
I move.
Second.
The council meeting then is reconvened on the motion of the deputy and seconded from Councillor Bisty. Item 14.4.1 is the the director of Inland Fisheries and place naming in Tasmania. There's a report there. Did you want to speak to that?
Move the recommendation. It's all straightforward, Mr. Mayor.
Okay.
I second.
So moved by Councillor Bisty and seconded by Councillor Fish that the recommendation be approved that a body of water up on the den is now going to be called, believe it or not,
Den
Dan.
Yes. It's the bigger body of water.
Could have had Back Dam or something like that.
There's fishing on the Lake River, a place called the Dam. The Lake River goes down past Connemara. I think it's okay, but I just point out that there's another fishing place, Dam.
Jordan's been a popular fishing destination for years. Dam Dam feeds that, I guess. I'll put the motion. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The ayes have it. Thank you. Welcome to Dan Dam.
Very good, thank you.
Item 15.1.1 is the Heritage Project Program Report. The report from Brad Williams. Is there a mover for that the information be received and noted?
I move.
Thank you, Debbie. Seconded. Any questions or matters that you wish to raise with Brad? No? I'll put the motion open, thank you. The NRM unit general report.
I can move that.
Thank you, Councillor Fish. Seconded.
Second.
Councillor Fishy. Issues there?
Not to take away from the importance of weed management, but is this something we always gloss over, so perhaps it could be something that's produced quarterly instead of monthly, to say once and done point in time, but and likewise with the swimming pool report and some of the other reports in here, to give back some time to the people that actually write.
Certainly can do that. If there's any, unless there's opposition, we can go to court.
I mean, we never paid any heavy service.
Oh, well, that's not true. I certainly do. I'm always keen to read it. I'm not sure about what you mean by paying heed to it. I don't think any of the recommendations have...
Well, it never got discussed in any detail.
Well, I'm more than happy to receive discussions about it.
Mr. Mayor, I think leave it as it is monthly now. Now, sure. See, there's two and a bit pages. So if you're going to leave it as 3 months, you'll be 4 or 5 pages or more.
Nothing wrong with long reviews at the moment.
Well, I think it's a question. I don't mind receiving it each month. If I thought there was some issues of overburdening the staff, that would be a question for the general manager to. Sometimes providing a report in these days, you know, you can speak into a machine, I believe, and it automatically prints it out, and it's not terribly onerous. And if you're doing it as a report monthly, it does have the ability or the effect of keeping the person who's in the job up to date and revising what they do each month. But look, I'm neither here nor there on that. I'm quite happy to take the view of council around the table. If people are satisfied that it should remain or satisfied that it shouldn't remain, I'm quite happy to...
Probably take a different view to the NRM and heritage ones, but the pool I agree with is that's very repetitive, and the finances are picked up as part of our normal ones. Maybe we just do the pool specific one every quarter.
Well, let me give some time back to the staff. So.
Very good, thanks for that suggestion, Councillor Miller. In relation to this report, as it stands, I've got a mover and a second, and there. Is there any discussion about it?
Moved.
I've got a mover and a second, Councillor.
Yeah.
But were there any issues or matters of discussion? No? Very good, I'll put the motion. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The ayes have it. Thank you, the NRM officer, Councillor Weedy, for that report. Item 1511 is the policy development for food and safety policy. We've got to receive this report.
I'll move.
Thank you, Councillor Campbell. Seconder?
I'll second.
Deputy? We have to leave that on the table for a period. Did you speak to this? Yes, Mr. King.
Just very quickly, thank you, Council. In the review of the risk register this year, there's references to a food safety policy. We actually didn't have one. So I sat down with Helena, who's on leave at the moment, threw together this first draft, which we're pretty happy with. Helena's back from leave on the 29th of July. Our intention is to table this for some comments and first reading, and we can finalise it in the meeting of August. But certainly it's a fairly basic document. It's just ensures that we have compliant food premises.
Yeah.
And we're active in the space for registrations and inspections. And recently we've applied some new fees to the schedule to be more proactive in that space and assisting applicants with their licences and compliance inspections, etc. So thank you.
Just a question.
There's a couple of questions probably in
relation to it. Who does the inspection? Self-department or we do?
Council Sydney HR will be the primary person who runs those inspections within our LGA.
I wondered. Thank you.
Will this policy extend to council, recreation grounds where perhaps barbecues are being prepared?
They're addressed through the licensing, what do you call them? The food license.
Yeah.
So, in your case, you're acting on behalf of the Central Hawks Junior Footy Club, who does have a temporary food license, or whatever they call it. So you've been fully briefed on the requirements associated with that license in terms of how you cook your sausages.
I have, yes. So beyond the scope of this policy.
Well, this is really...
I don't think we should have some sort of an awareness thing, because I don't know that the awareness is out there about the safety and the need to get, even not to profit for barbecue. I don't think the awareness is out there that they perhaps need to go through the process.
Sure.
I mean, as the Board Marshal, we weren't aware of some of the conditions, so I'm guessing that some of the other smaller places are not aware that they actually need to do this.
I think the basic minimum is that you have, as I'm pleased to say I do, have a certificate to say you've got a food handling degree. So if you have that, that's a basic understanding of what what's wrong with food handling.
It's actually very timely because we've got a newsletter going out early August. We can put an article or Helena might prepare an article.
One thing, Part 7 does refer to the educational program, so we are involved in the training and hand-holding of existing food license holders. So, you know, for example, without going too much detail, we had a situation where we had a fairly non-compliant kitchen recently.
Mm-hmm.
And rather than issuing prohibition orders, we're working closely with that that licensee to ensure we have some compliance without having to, you know, implement the business overly. But certainly, I take your point about being more involved in the educational.
It's probably not the larger businesses. It's just, I'm thinking more the markets, and because we weren't aware of some of the rulings, and I'm guessing a lot of the other community groups don't know that they should be doing this as well.
Okay. Well, that's where that policy's got a month for it to lie on the table, and if councillors want to further have input into its development, you've got that month to do. We've got a mover, Councillor Campbell, seconded the deputy. I put the motion, those in favour.
Sorry.
Against the ayes. Thanks, councillors. What policy is there before us, and we now have the animal management report. Yes, it is. 1561.
Happy to speak to this. I just want to acknowledge the fact that Rachel Cole's on leave at the moment. She's taking some annual leave. So I want to thank Joe Rowley for filling in the void the last few weeks. Also, Dave's team have been very able and responsive to managing animal control issues very quickly and very ably. So Joe and I put together a report. It's a pretty standard template. The key details on the table, spreadsheet to the right insofar as the responsiveness and the incidents within the LGA in the last reporting period. So any questions I'm happy to take and answer where I can. Thank you.
None? Do I have a motion that the report
be received?
Motion. Thanks, Councillor Campbell. Seconded?
I'll second.
Councillor Grohl. Any issues other than what we've had? Put the motion as a favour. Thank you. Thank you. Open the aquatic centre. Similarly, we'll have a mover for that report. Thanks, Councillor Bisti. Seconded, Councillor Campbell.
Pleasing to see, Mr. Mayor, that for the year we are $15,000 in front of last year. Less expenses, mainly due to the increased participation use by the community of the facility. Unfortunately, the issue of the wages, the salaries, went up $50,000. Now, my question is if the bulk of that would be the last EBA, would it not?
Oh, it would be a combination of an EBA increase, but along with increased usage, as you get more participants in the learners.
I understand
so
all that.
It's a combination of all of that. You can't have one without the other, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's just a 10% increase over last year, which is Yeah, it's a pity, but anyway, at least, you know, we're $15,000 ahead of where we were last year.
And do we still have
enough? The costs keep going up, unfortunately.
We'd be the envy, I think, of just about any council.
They're expensive things.
Yeah.
At least we're not further behind in the deficit.
No, we're doing well.
We really, I suppose, in circumstances, we're going pretty well.
Just going to make a comment and ask a question. So the question, we have enough casuals to fill in the spots of a weekend and after, you know.
Certainly believe so now.
Good, yeah. Good. And, you know, I feel for Georgetown that are building their pool at the moment and they've just lost Liberty Bell with all those people that could possibly be moving out of that area.
Yes.
Not going to be good for them with their swimming pool.
And the loss of racing.
I was going to say, I wonder how their rates are when they collect them.
Exactly. And the loss of business. Gee, correct.
So, anyhow.
Yes. Well, fortunately, we're better placed.
Hmm.
Very good. I move in a second. I put the motion. Those in favour? Up to the next issue, one of safety. And whether or not Mr. Richardson wants to speak to this. This is the draft lease in respect to 8 Union Street.
Move that it be signed, Mr. Mayor.
Fire station.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The State Fire Commission has requested, so they've had a lease that has previously expired in place for many years, and they've requested basically that a new lease be given to them for the property at 8 Union Street, Campania. Bearing in mind the council only owns the land that it sits on. They own the structure, they own the buildings. And as part of the negotiations process, they originally flagged that they wanted, of course, the $1 per year peppercorn rent for it. And I sort of went back and said, look, no. And I said, I don't think that's appropriate. More like $1,000 per annum to cover the potential, inadvertently the loss of income for that rental property, or go towards that, and they've come back and agreed to those terms and conditions. They also pay all the outgoings, so being power, water, you know, Tas water, land tax, anything associated with that, they will pay on top of that $1,000. So I think it was not a bad outcome.
No, very good.
They've just requested, obviously, there's only a draft lease there, that the new one will be worded correctly to include all those conditions, and if council's happy, we proceed with granting the lease. It's a little bit bizarre in that they only want it for 1 year or whatever date, a year and a half, but that's to coincide with, they also have a lease with the Education Department, which is on the adjoining land. So that's to coincide with that, and then it'll be a roll-on one for up to 5 years, bearing in mind that we can't go over 5 years for the leasing of council on land. So that's the context to it, I guess.
Just the only thing I thought about in relation to this was, if there was some being a fire brigade, and I see the customers in and out all the time, if there's any issue with the driveway from the road to the inside of the land, if it's our land, it really ought to be their responsibility to pay for any of the driveway renovations that need to be done, or just wonder if that's catered for.
No, you are correct, Mr. Mayor, in the Tas Fire Service has other obviously facilities throughout Southern Midlands, and I always have had successful negotiations with them regarding any upgrade works.
that are required, and they don't seem to walk out at all.
Okay. All right, well, look, I've got a move that. Didn't get a second. Councillor Campbell, we're going to lease the 8 Union Street to Spa Service for about. Any further discussion? All right, from the move of Councillor Visti, the second of Councillor Campbell. I'll put the motion. No potato?
Aye.
The ayes have it. Thank you. The Prime Minister's quarterly update. My report provided by Manager of Finance, Manager Burgess. Move it.
You've gone too far.
We've asked elected members to vote.
Oh, I have again. Elected member statement.
Oh, all right.
Yes, Councillor is it a statement?
I have. This is my yearly bragging session about what the ladies do at the Oaklands Bargain Centre, our community payout. So this year we're paying out $37,645.42, which is, yes, our biggest ever again.
Right.
We're sharing that amongst 13 groups. So 17 volunteers have worked 2,788.25 hours, and each hour is worth $13.50. So we've got, as I said, lots of people getting money. So the hospital auxiliary will get $15,082. Now the auxiliary have spoken to me, and they are in the process of ordering a very special lantern lamp that comes down for Dr. Tristan Johnson to use when he's there cutting out cancers from people. So he has requested that. So that money will definitely go towards that, because I believe it's close to $10,000. The church, football clubs, historical society, we have dogs' homes, cats' homes, cemeteries, the rural youth, the mill patch, which is up at the mill, the gardening group that's up there, Hawthorne House, and some other cat homes. So that's what we have done in this last year. I'm very proud of our volunteers, and the op shop's just going great guns. So I've got that piece of paper to give to Gemma to put in our report. So.
Fantastic results. Congratulations.
Yeah, no,
well done.
They do.
To all you and all the volunteers.
They do a marvellous job. And opening 7 days a week, that's a big commitment. So.
Yeah. No, fantastic.
Same comment I laugh at each year.
Right, okay.
Right. Often when businesses are doing well, landlords wonder whether the rent's enough, but we won't go in there. Wouldn't dare.
No, I wouldn't dare. I wouldn't dare.
Very good. Are there any other elected member statements before I move on to the manager of finance report?
I attended the Taswater meeting in Launceston on the 25th of June, and that was a bit of a sad occasion. It was a pretty feisty old meeting because all the owners were up in arms with the board of being so late with advising they want to drop our dividend from 24,000 down to 20,000. Now, most of the councils, including our own, had done their budgets before that announcement. So there was a lot of angst in the room and a lot of criticism of the board, and unfortunately it wasn't all that well attended for those that were there, but
it was the ALGA conference as well in Canberra, and a lot of mayors were up there, and they had trouble with the Zoom meeting, of zooming into the meeting, and they lost the reception a couple of times, and it wasn't very satisfactory. But there were some very irate mayors and council representatives about what had happened and the way that they'd handled it. So in the end, they decided to continue on just this one year with our current dividend, but in the next 3 years it will drop to 20 million. So we're going to have to adjust our budget. I think it's 45,000 roughly to us, which is a fair bit, but to others like Hobart City Council it's a million, and there's a lot of unhappy people about that. But however, because they wanted an 8.8 increase annually for 4 years, it was just a bridge to cross, considering the cost of living and the pressures that everyone's under at the moment. And in the end, the regulator came back with 4.4, but however, after further negotiations, it ended up at 5.7. over 4 years, which in itself is over 20%. So unfortunate news, but the board apologised and said they regretted the circumstances, but they have negotiated with the regulator that for the next PSP they will start their deliberations 6 months earlier, so councils get fair warning of any adjustment long before they do their budgets. So I think that was one of the positives that came out of it, but I must admit the board got quite a lashing. I was a bit surprised at some of the comments that some of the mayors made, but it got a bit unruly. Well, when I say unruly, a bit difficult when Canberra were trying to put in amendments to the motion, and they tried to dictate to the board what they should pay in dividends. Now, the owners cannot dictate to the board what they are to pay. That's the board's job. But anyway, they got through that, and they got a motion through that, you know, we support their end of year financial statements, and that we acknowledge that they have to be far more stricter with their informing councils of what's going on.
So just to ask this question briefly,
yeah.
They were going to halve the dividend, is that right?
No, they were going to drop it from 24, we get 24 now,
24 to 20,
and to every council in the, well, when I say every council, the 20 million is split up with every council, and we, our share is normally 180,000,
yeah,
roughly, but that will drop next year by 45,000, well, in rough figures, but everyone's going to cop a drop. And especially the bigger councils like Launceston, you know, and they can't afford to lose a dollar, and neither can a lot of other councils. But unfortunately, the general manager is going to have to deal with that.
Did they acknowledge the support that council gave the board in supporting the 8.8 position before the regulator?
Yeah, they did. They did. The owners supported the 8.8%, but you know, there was some mumblings and grumblings about it that they thought it was just a bridge too far, and it was. And the regulator didn't have a bar of it. He cut it in half to start with.
I just don't think that, well, I realise the issue. I mean, sorry, this is not an area of hearing where I should just hear my views, but I think the board perhaps
has let the position of, you know, repair and renew drift for far too long.
Yeah.
The current board.
Yeah, well, it's a long lean by the time they go to the regulator mucks around for about 3 months before he gets back and says, well, this is our decision. And then they've got to enter into a negotiation period to try and get further increases.
Mm.
And that takes another couple of months. And in the end, the time slipped away. Councils had done their budgets and they were faced with losing, you know, overall $4 million from out of the state. That's a lot of money. But now, at least this year, it's locked in at $24 million, but next year it's $20. And for the next 3 years, it's 20.
All right.
Well, unfortunately.
Guess we'll have to live with that.
Thanks very much. There was a lot of angry mayors and owner representatives at the meeting, and the board copped up. And they admitted it. They said, you know, it's our fault, and we won't repeat it.
Okay. Thanks for that.
Very good. I wish I had better news.
We'll go back to 7823 and the Finance Manager's Report. Welcome, Mandy Burley.
Well, this is just the resource sharing, Mr. Mayor.
Ah, no, sorry.
I'm going to move that, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Deputy. Okay. Quarterly reports there. Any issues? Put the motion. Note in favour?
Aye.
Oh, yeah. The ayes have it. Thank you. And then we get through the services purchasing policy. If we need to.
Just a question now. Federal Government grant, Tim, that's August, isn't it? Sometime?
Yes, confirmation.
Yeah. Confirmation, yeah, right. We've got no idea what it is at the moment. No,
no, well, we've received 80%.
Yeah, this stupid idea of paying it before the end of the financial year.
But if we've got 80%, we don't
we know what it should be, unless they make any other adjustments.
It's pretty well, because you might recall we actually budgeted for a significant, we say each year through the budget there's evidence that there's a shift towards rural councils in the allocations. We budget more, a percentage increase than generally, which would appear to be achieved.
And if it goes to plan, like looks like it will, it's certainly going to help what we've got in the budget.
Yes, that's good.
Just in relation to the review of the existing goods and services purchasing policy, should it have gone before the
pretty well straightforward, so
it's mainly because of the organisational restructure, so the position titles match.
Nothing else other than that.
Mandy's got one correction.
There's one correction to make on page 59. At the bottom of page 59, 5.3 order book. At the bottom of that list, it says coordinated building services twice. The second one is the plumbing surveyor permit authority.
Plumbing surveyor permit authority, which
is currently Phil Krause, who has limited authority to purchase a space for purchases associated with building projects where he's required to.
Anyway, you're satisfied with this, GM?
But definitely.
Yes. Alright. Well, I have a mover.
I'll move.
Thank you, Councillor Campbell. Second, Councillor Stevens.
don't want to use the word might around
authorities
to sign, didn't you?
Well, I'll refrain. Maybe remove one title.
Okay, well, there's a move by Councillor Campbell.
Councillor Fish, I think. What is it?
I'm just a bit concerned about Councillor Campbell being left off the decision.
Councillor Campbell, Councillor Business.
Yeah, but I'm a bit concerned about the box. There's no Councillor Campbell. He's been dropped off. We'll put you back on the box, Councillor Campbell.
Which side of bed did you...
Well, I'm sorry, it wasn't me. You just didn't make the box, but you're now in the box. Moved by Councillor Campbell, seconded by... Was it Councillor Bisty?
Yes.
Councillor Bisty. Okay, those in favour?
Aye.
The ayes have it, thank you. And the STCA winding up issue.
I'll move
Councillor Campbell. Seconded.
I suppose I'd better second it, but I was the inaugural chairman of it.
Well, and did they work out how the money's going to be spent?
They haven't done that yet. I don't think they have.
Yeah, top of page 62.
We're going to get it, aren't we?
So it's only distributed on the surviving members.
Yes.
We get $21,500.
There you go, you see.
Had we not survived, we would have got a lot
there. Well, if we'd have walked, we'd have got enough.
Yeah.
Money for jam.
Could pay for the new notice board at Kempton.
Yeah, that's right.
Depending on the extent of the artwork.
Yeah. All right. What's the motion? Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against, the ayes have it. Thank you.
Join your mayor, we've done.
It comes in your mayor, well done. And then we get the finances again. The financial report for the period ending the 30th of June.
Move the recommendation.
Councillor Christie is moving. Seconded off the deputy. Very good. There it is, guys. What do you reckon? Any issues?
Subject to the final review.
So these aren't final figures. We're still in the middle of our own financial year
accrual. Mm-hmm. But very indicative.
Keep those private works coming in. I'm going to move in a second. Are there any questions? Any issues? No comments, no issues. I'll put the motion that the information be received and noted. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The ayes have
it. Okay.
Things confused, don't they? Imagine a little clerk looking all that out.
Yeah, that's right.
And I'll move the motion, which starts
with... This is the Krakenau. Request for donation. Honey. Moved by Councillor Campbell. Seconded.
Yeah, I'll second.
Councillor Blackwell. No discussion. Needed. Motion goes off for the bang. Those in favour?
Aye.
Right. Again?
Councillor Mayor. No.
Sorry, Councillor.
I think that you, when you reply with $100, that's beyond the rules of the council. Not just now, but explain why.
Yeah, just we'll say that the policy's been amended.
Yeah, whatever.
I thought it was a little bit just to request the $1,500, but.
We paid out our agreed amount to the Woodsdale Football Club.
Yes.
Right.
so they've got it.
Yes.
Okay, hope they use it wisely.
And they're pretty well spent.
No doubt, Councillor Campbell, no doubt.
Well, they haven't won a game yet this season. No. Just hope they keep their team together and enjoy their footy.
Did they get the government one as well?
I believe so, yeah.
Right.
Mm. Mm. Okay. Yeah, they're playing home footy. And
it's doing what we thought it would do. Mm. You know, it's important, I think, to try and maintain a good level of participation in the sports. And
sure,
look, you can't
sure.
win every game.
No, sure.
Good luck to them.
Talking to the gatekeepers, they've been happy with their attendances. So.
Yep. No one's got bogged or...
Essendon support.
Oh,
would be nice to win some games.
Well, we were all voting for you last time, the other night, at our house.
Well, they won two.
No one likes the Giants, so we were very pleased to win.
Well, he managed to topple Richmond and put them back on the bottom.
As a Richmond supporter, you've got more back than
that. No sympathy whatsoever.
Okay, well, we're up to the requirement that we consider whether we go into closed session, and there's some matters there that we propose to have in closed session.
So move.
Thank you, Councillor Dusty. Thank you, Councillor Campbell, for seconding that. I put the motion, those in favour.
Oh,
yes, the ayes have it, and then we have a motion now that we actually do go into closed session. Thank you, Councillor Campbell. Seconded.
I'll second.
Those in favour. Again, the ayes have it. Very good. We're in closed session now. Session, we're into open. Council agenda, and we are at say 12:55. We close the meeting. Thanks very much.